How can I be sure? The real question. Now, this first letter of John was written to answer that question. John states it quite clearly in chapter 5 and verse 13 towards the end there. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today. And Colin, in your decades of being a pastor, I'm sure that questions related to assurance of salvation has to be a topic that has come up time and time again.
You're absolutely right, Steve. In fact, I think that that is probably the single most frequently asked question. Believers who are not sure if they're going to be in heaven. And it's not surprising that that's the case, because the verse with which the program opened today, John the Apostle actually makes a distinction here. He says he's writing to people who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. And so clearly he's envisioning that there are believers, or were believers even in the early church, who needed help to get to a place where they were confident and settled and assured that they really do have eternal life. So I think this is a problem that's always with us. And the wonderful thing is that there is an entire letter in the New Testament that's given to us precisely to address this question.
Well, that is exactly where we're going today. We're going to be in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, focusing in on verses 5 to 7. I hope you'll grab your Bible and join us there as we begin a message called Assurance Grows as You Walk in the Light. Here's Pastor Colin.
We're beginning a new series today. The aim of this series is to answer a single question. How can I be sure? How can I be sure? I think this may be the number one question that believers ask. And it's a good question, and it is rightly asked by thoughtful believers. We sometimes refer to this as the question of assurance. How can I be sure? And it is pressed on us for several reasons. One is that we live at a time when many people are abandoning the faith that they once professed. And a thinking person might reason, well, if other people who have professed faith have walked away, how can I be sure that that will not happen to me? How do I know that I am the real deal? The second reason that this question is pressed upon us is that thoughtful believers see the limits in our own pursuit of holiness. Perhaps you know what it is to be frankly dismayed by your own lack of progress in the Christian life. You think, for all the years I've been a Christian, I should be doing better. I should be further on than this. Or perhaps you know what it is to struggle with a stubborn sin. You fall into a sin that you've fallen into too many times before. And you wonder, therefore, well, was my repentance real? And if it was, then why am I back here again? We know that our righteousness is in Christ and not in ourselves, but we live with the sneaking suspicion that a true Christian would be doing better than we are. And the third reason that this question is pressed upon us is that when we read the New Testament, we read descriptions of experience that sometimes seem to be beyond what we have known. You open your Bible and you read Peter speaking about rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You read Paul speaking about a peace of God that passes understanding, guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thoughtful Christian reads things like this and then says, well, can I really say that that is my experience? Am I a true Christian? The real question, how can I be sure? Now, this first letter of John was written to answer that question. John states it quite clearly in chapter 5 and verse 13 towards the end there. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Here's some good news. God wants you not only to have eternal life, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. And John says, that's why I'm writing this letter. I want you to have the peace. I want you to have the joy of knowing that Christ and all that he promises is yours. So how can that be? How can I be sure? Well, the answer to that question, as we're going to see from this first letter of John, is really a cord of at least three strands that is kind of woven together. The first is to gain gospel clarity. The second is to cultivate gospel fruit. And the third is to practice gospel faith. Now, here's where we begin. That if you are to be sure of your standing in Christ, you must gain gospel clarity. And we begin here at verse 5 that was read to us, where John makes a marvelous statement about God. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message. Now, if we were to do a straw poll and to ask the question, where does the Christian message begin? Where does the gospel begin? I think on a straw poll, we'd probably get many people would say, well, it begins with the love of God. And John's writings are full of the love of God. It's John's gospel where we read that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And it's in this letter of John, the first letter of John, that John says, not once but twice in chapter 4, that God is love. We're going to see that this letter is full of the love of God. But the first thing that John tells us, this is the message, he says. The first thing is not that God is love, but that God is light. This is the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones makes the point that if we do not start with the holiness of God, we will never understand the gospel. God saves us through the cross, the death, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the obvious question that a person would ask is, why do we need the cross? Why is this the only way that people can be saved? You hear that question, I'm sure, all the time. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, and I quote, if God is only love and compassion and mercy, then the cross is surely meaningless. For if God is love alone, all he needs to do when a man sins is forgive him. So you see, if you do not start with the holiness of God, which is what John does here, God is light, you will not understand the gospel. And John wants us to grasp the gospel because he wants us to know that we have eternal life. And grasping the gospel begins with the holiness of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Then John introduces us to this glorious possibility, staggering possibility, that we should have fellowship with this holy God. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. Now, friends, this is the greatest blessing that a human being can possibly know. This is the very purpose for which we were made. God has called us, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, into fellowship with his Son. We live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And here John says in chapter 1 and verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Fellowship means that you are a friend of God. Fellowship means that you share in his life and God himself shares in your life. And eternal life itself is a life of fellowship with God. Remember, Jesus said to the Father in John 17 and verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, John tells us two things about fellowship with God.
And we're going to pause here, but we'll come back and look at those two things in just a few moments. So hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Assurance Grows as You Walk in the Light. It's the first message in our series all about assurance called How Can I Be Sure? And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen is through the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. We have both the daily radio program, our weekend broadcast, as well as our daily devotional and other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Again, the app is free. Simply look for Open the Bible at your app store or come and listen online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, John tells us two things about fellowship with God, and they are our focus today. And the first is that fellowship with God is impossible for a person who walks in darkness. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that is with the God who is light and in whom is no darkness at all, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, here is a person who claims to have fellowship with God, speaks often about God, likes to talk about his or her faith, speaks often about how God leads me, speaks about how God shows me what to do. But at the same time, this person is walking in darkness. Notice the word while. It's very important. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. So here's a person. On the one hand, they claim to have fellowship with God. On the other hand, this person, he or she, is walking in darkness. And these two things are happening at precisely the same time. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? To walk in darkness is to hold on to what God calls sin and refuse to let it go. No confession, no repentance, just excuses or explanations or concealments or self-justifications. And of course, is what Adam did. You remember his first instinctive response when he sinned against God by breaking his commandment? He hid in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And of course, we may speculate on why he did this. Was it pride? Was it fear? Maybe it was shame. Whatever it was, the fact and the reality of the matter was that instead of coming out into the light and confessing his sin to God, what Adam did was that he hid, and you cannot have fellowship with God while you're hiding from him. Now notice that John says, while we walk in darkness. So John is not saying, and very clearly he's not saying, if there's any sin in your life, you're not a Christian. If there's any sin in your life, you cannot have fellowship with God. He cannot mean that, because he says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's talking about walking in darkness. And walking, by definition, is a continuing action. Walking in darkness means staying in darkness. And fellowship with God is impossible, John is saying, for a person who walks or stays in darkness. Now, this theme is very important, and it runs throughout 1 John. For example, chapter 3 and verse 6, John says, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning." Notice the walking, the staying in darkness, keeps on sinning. "No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." So think about the prodigal son when he was in the far country. When he was in the far country, his father loved him. When he was in the far country, the father was ready to welcome him home. But the prodigal son did not have fellowship with his father while he was in the far country living among the pigs. It was only when he returned home, only when he came out of the darkness and into the light, that his fellowship with his father was so wonderfully restored. Now, John is saying something very important that we need to hear today. Fellowship with God is impossible for the person who walks in darkness. John says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, the lie here is to the suggestion or the idea that sin doesn't matter. That's the lie. And it's a lie that still grips the minds of many people, that somehow we can have fellowship with God irrespective of how we choose to live. And John says, if you think that you can have fellowship with God irrespective of how you live, if you think that you can have fellowship with God while you are walking in darkness, you have bought into a lie. And your claim to have fellowship with God is empty. It's an illusion. You have, in fact, deceived yourself. This is very important. Fellowship with God is impossible for the person who walks in darkness. That's the first thing. The second thing is that fellowship with God is the joy of a person who walks in the light. Notice the contrast now in verse 7. But, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this theme of walking in the light is really important, and it is often misunderstood. So let's clear away two misunderstandings before we get to what John is saying here. The first misunderstanding to clear away is simply this, that walking in the light is not perfection. Walking in the light is not perfection, thank God. This is really, really good news because, of course, if walking in the light meant that we had to be completely free from all sin before any of us could have fellowship with God, none of us would ever have fellowship with God. In fact, no one would ever have fellowship with God. If we say we're without sin, we're deceiving ourselves, is the very next verse. The Bible never teaches that we must be free from all sin in order to have fellowship with God. John states this quite clearly in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Fellowship with God is promised to people who know and confess their sins. Think about this, it is very wonderful. Though the impulse towards sin remains in us, and though We never move beyond our need to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness. Yet by his grace through Jesus Christ, it is possible for sinners like us to have fellowship with God. That's the heart of the gospel. Walking in the light is not perfection. You can breathe a huge sigh of relief with that. Here's another thing that I think is worth mentioning. Walking in the light is not transparency. Sometimes misunderstood in that way as well. Notice John says we are to walk in the light as he, that is God, is in the light. Now the Bible tells us that God is pure. The Bible tells us that God is holy, that God is true, and that God cannot lie. But God is not transparent. There are many, many things that we do not know about him, many things that he has not chosen to reveal about himself. And so God calls us to a life that is pure, that is honest, and is true. But the Bible never suggests that we are all under an obligation to tell everyone everything about ourselves. So let's clear away these misconceptions. Walking in the light is not perfection, and walking in the light is not transparency. The Bible never commands that you are under an obligation to tell everybody everything about yourself. You are called to be pure and true, and you are called to be honest and not to live a lie. So what does it mean to walk in the light?
And we do have to pause the message right there, but we'll continue and answer that question on our next broadcast. Hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program, you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the broadcast or download an MP3 for free. And you can order this entire series, How Can I Be Sure, when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or ask about it when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Donald McLeod's book, Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. But Colin, before you ever talk about this book, I often hear you say, who you read is just as, if not even more important than what you read. So who is Donald McLeod?
Well, Donald McLeod is one of my favorite authors and indeed one of my favorite preachers. He's had a formative influence in my life. You'll guess, Steve, from the name McLeod, what country he comes from. He's from the Highlands of Scotland. A brilliant mind, an extraordinary gift of preaching, and a quite brilliant writer. I recall sitting listening to him preach. He would speak for an hour, and at the end there would be a stunned kind of silence across the whole room. Quite remarkable, the work of the Spirit through his preaching. I have bought every book that he has written because he writes with such compelling color. His thinking is fresh. He says things that are familiar in a way that makes them live and shine in new ways. And this is the last book that he wrote before the Lord called him home just a couple of years ago, Faith Undaunted. And he's speaking about the fundamentals of Christian faith, about God the Creator, about the Bible, the very Word of God, about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the book, he has a chapter on what it means to follow Christ based on the words of Jesus about the broad way and the narrow way. I think that's one of the most compelling presentations of the Christian life and the call of Christ that I've ever read. So I'm a real enthusiast about Donald McLeod. I think he's been a wonderful gift to the church. He's not widely known here in America, but his books are well worth reading, and this one's a gem.
All right, I'm looking forward to reading this, and we would love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, and our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.